Welcome to These Are Good Days with Leanne Miller
and Matt Barris.
Well, Matt, we're back. We're back. We're back. We're back. We're back.
It's like we're right where we're meant to be.
Yes, we're back in the same room together.
It's different. It is so different.
We try hard when we're remote, but it's not the same.
You know, one of our long-term, short-term goals is to get video going
yes.
because us in the same room is optimal.
Yes.
Because there's just a lot of exchange.
Yes. There's just a lot of energy in the room.
A lot of
you
looks,
know, yes.
A lot of friendship.
A lot of gasping.
That's right. A lot of pearl clutching sometimes. But we're back after our hiatus.
Yes. Oh, yes.
It's hard for me. Listen, I was on vacation.
Yes, you were.
And I was listening. I was driving.
Hilton Head, South Carolina.
I don't know if this is a good or a bad confession, so don't come at me.
All right, I won't.
But I listen to a podcast in headphones when I drive sometimes.
Okay, all right.
And if a podcast sounds bad, it's real hard for me to stick
I
with
know,
it. And so
I know.
We are so committed
yes.
to doing the best we can. And
with
guys,
sound.
We are.
Yeah,
we are.
Yeah,
we're
we
doing
are.
The best we can.
Our two things were sound and consistency. We
That's
wanted
right.
to remain consistent.
Right, and here we are.
Here we are. Here we are, back in the same room.
We're not going to let heart surgeries
and
or beach walking.
Nothing's gonna beat us down,
That's
Maddie
why.
B. Okay, what's your good day?
My good day has to be Hilton Head. So, you know, we just...
And all the days run together in Hilton Head.
I know, it's going to sound like your days. But I did pull out one thing I want to highlight. You know, leading up to Hilton Head, we hadn't seen Mallory's parents since Christmas. And so they went after Christmas, went down there to spend, you know, the first couple months of the year. And then we saw them, it would have been the last week of March, first week of April.
Okay.
And, you know, it's interesting... Because this is a cultural norm that I just don't subscribe to, is when people say, what are you doing for spring break? And I say, I'm going to my in-laws in Hilton Head. And I'm sure you can guess what 80% of people do.
Oh.
Uh-huh. 100%. Often there's a response of like, oh, you're going to your in-laws. Okay, how's that going to go? Maybe not necessarily initially saying like, it's a negative thing, but kind of feeling me
inferring,
out to see if I'm going to give them a little
something
to like
run
with.
Or just
with.
Inferring that it wouldn't be a great thing for them.
And you know what? Our experience is the opposite. My in-laws.
Oh, they're great.
They are so intentional with our kids.
They are.
They do. When it rained, we did a Lego day. We've talked about that before. They took the kids to Target and got Legos when it rained. We went putt-putt golfing. They took us out to dinner. And they're not only intentional with our kids, but they're intentional with me and
yes.
Mallory, too.
And,
so,
and they really just treat you just like, they treat you like royalty.
They really
you know,
do.
They take you out to dinner and all at the new favorite places.
I know.
And
they'll be like,
you
where
go
do we
to the
need
pool.
To try?
Yes.
It's so good. So. Yes. You know, what I want to say about my good day, I could tell you little quips from our week and snapshots, but really what I want to say about my good week in Hilton Head, I suppose, is like, don't dog your in-laws.
No.
Don't dog. I mean,
well,
maybe there's some in-laws that aren't great.
But
like my in-laws are awesome.
Well,
I think as the other side of it is be a good in-law.
Yeah.
Be a good in-law.
Yeah. And here's what I'll say to that. For those of you that are like, well, you don't know in-laws.
That's right.
Is that, you might have difficult in-laws.
Sure.
But that does not stop you from being the healthiest version of yourself.
Sure.
To love and care for your in-laws in the best way that you can given
Absolutely.
The circumstance. You know, I talked to somebody recently who lost a family member and said, you know, I wish I would have understood them better because if I would have understood them better and where they were operating out of, maybe I could have loved them in a different way
That's
or could
really
have loved them better. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, you know, isn't that true? But isn't it often that we discover those things after the person is gone?
Yeah.
But the truth is that people, and you know, I would even, you know, I'm estranged from some of my family. And I would say that some of my family that I'm estranged from, they love in the best way they know how,
sure.
the best way they're capable
sure.
of. It's just whether I want to allow that kind of love into my life or not,
sure.
right?
Sure.
So you can understand where someone maybe has gone through some things that you have not experienced yourself.
Right.
And the way that they love is just, maybe it limps a little,
sure.
you know, maybe it's a little crippled. Maybe it's a little, just broken.
Yeah. And I think for me, if this lands with you, the listener out there thinking like, well, good for you. Here's what I would say to that is, be the best son-in-law, daughter-in-law that you can be, and also give that gift to you whenever your children get married.
Yes.
Give that gift yes. because it is a gift mm-hmm. to have in-laws that love me. Well, and even,
and listen,
truthfully, even more than that, in-laws that love my kids.
Yes.
Because that's important
yes.
to me.
And here's what I'll say. You've never said it, but I'll say it for you because you've never told me this. But people like to paint a picture, if you have feelings like that for your yeah. in-laws, that there's never anything challenging.
Sure.
That's not true.
Sure.
Because we're all human beings.
Right.
We all have different personalities. I'm sure there's times that people are tired or people are cranky or they
100%.
Or somebody gets a phone call and people, whatever the circumstances are, you're not saying everything is always roses
sure.
and olipops.
Right.
You know, you're saying we have a great relationship. And let me tell you, it's not also by accident. You all are both active participants
100%.
That are working at having that healthy relationship.
Absolutely.
Listen, healthy relationships just don't sprout up out of nowhere.
No, because if you don't do anything, it just sits. It just sits and is
right,
stagnant.
Right,
so there
right.
is, you know, intentional work on both ends.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay, my good day is so weird, but it was so good.
It can't be weird.
Well, it was a little weird, but it was good.
Is it today?
No.
Because let me tell you what happened today. I was in a meeting at work, and I got a series of texts from you, and I saw them come through, and I was meeting with someone, and I opened up my phone, and the last text out of a long string of texts
yes.
was, Maddie, I'm at Hebrews, and I just tooted, and I didn't know that there was someone was sitting two seats away from me, and I was like, okay, Leanne just tooted in a coffee
yes,
shop.
Yes, I did. It just.
Did you squeeze?
It's just a little slip out.
Oh, like a little duck. Like a little quack.
It just slipped out. And then.
Did you have headphones on or music?
No.
Oh,
no,
it was just you by yourself, just raw dogging yeah. it? No music. Just raw dogging it without music or headphones.
So I was had my notebook, my Fresh Ideas notebook. I was writing
fresh
things
ideas.
Down and it just went. And I just like a little.
Like a little machine gun. Remember when I was machine gun Kelly?
Oh, snap.
There's somebody
in
right
my
there.
Peripheral. I saw this guy working on his computer and I saw he had a little grin. He was like, that little lady just tooted.
He had a grin?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because it wasn't that quiet, really.
He had a grin?
And I couldn't like make
Did you
my,
say anything?
I couldn't like make my tennis shoes go to make like it was the tennis shoes
Did
making
you go,
the noise.
Ooh.
No, no.
Did you go, sorry, I tooted. Okay.
No, I texted
okay,
you.
I totally hijacked your good day.
I texted you. So the little castle.
Hebrews, if you are listening.
Hebrews, if you are listening.
Leanne tooted in you today.
I'm so sorry. So I love that coffee shop, though.
It's awesome.
Oh, it's so cute. And the owners are so sweet. So we have a little place in Shreve that I like to call the Little Castle, and it's a renovation. I've talked about it on my Instagram. I think I've talked about it here. There are lots of things have happened at the Little Castle that have been hard.
Yeah, that's right.
So we finally got it renovated, and somebody moved in just for a short time, and she moved out, and we have the nicest, hardworkingest.
Did they move in?
Yep. One of them did. Pipe fitters. Now, did you know there was an occupation out there called a pipe fitter?
I actually did.
Okay.
I did know that.
A pipe fitter. And we here in Worcester have a daisy sour cream plant.
Yeah.
Daisy sour cream, if you are listening.
Do a dollop.
Do a dollop. Daisy.
Yeah.
So they're pipe fitters. They are absolutely so grateful and thankful.
Do you say to things to these young men like, you guys are so cute?
Oh, listen,
look at you guys.
Listen,
you guys are adorable.
I almost cried in front of them.
Oh my.
Because I was making the one's bed because the second guy's moving
in.
Wow,
this is a full service experience.
We furnish, so that's my good day.
Oh.
We needed to furnish the little castle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because these are guys that are away from home and working contract work. So they work 2 or 3 weeks on, then a week off. So they'll go home for that week.
Gotcha.
And then come back, right? So
pipes don't get a weekend.
No.
They need fitted all the time.
They work every single day straight.
That's wild.
So 10 to 12 hour days.
That's a no for me, dog. That's a no for
Randy,
me.
That's a no for me, dog. So they work so hard. And the one guy is 27 and the other guy's 32. So they're really the space between their ages are boys.
You guys are like my boys.
And I'm making the one's bed and I said, guys, I want to share this with you. I said, you know, you all are the ages of my boys, the age gap of my boys. We have a 25-year-old and a 30-year-old. And I started all of a sudden getting emotional. I'm making the bed. And I said, and you know, you're away from home.
Yeah.
And I said, so I'm doing my best to create a home for you to come to after you have had a long day's work.
Sure.
And I said, and I want you to know that I care, and part of my caring is when I look at you, I think, if this was my child,
sure.
If this was one of my boys,
yeah.
I would want a version of me doing exactly what I am doing
sure.
for you.
Yeah.
And they were just so precious. And I said, now one day I'm going to swing by and I'm going to bring you some home cooked food. And they're all, oh, Mrs. Miller, just to have a home cooked meal, that would be amazing. I mean, they're just so easy.
Yeah.
So I had the best time furnishing that little house. I went to our favorite thrift store here,
Frantique
and the Nest. And let me tell you, Kelvin, we are fans of Kelvin.
Listen, I think you talked about Kelvin recently.
He manages both stores. He's so talented. He's so kind. He'll say, okay, I've got something over here you should look at, or I've got something here that would work. And I made that little castle very granny chic.
I love it.
So our son, Teddy, said, Mom, all I can think about is those pipe fitters coming home with their safety gear on.
And their floral couch.
From work and sitting on that little granny couch.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, I just wanted to create a home environment for them. And it was just so fun. I think accessorizing or furnishing is the most fun of those projects.
Sure.
It's
great.
Just so fun. So that was my good day.
That's awesome. I love that. Hey, we're going to talk about food right now.
Let's talk about food.
Here's what I have to say about food
That was really good. That was good.
I mean, we haven't been together.
That was on cue.
So we're in sync.
Tell me.
Here's the first thing I have to say about Walnut Creek Cheese and Market today.
All right.
My mom was also in South Carolina during the break.
Okay.
And, you know, we drove home the same day, not together. She was with a friend from church. We were just with the kids. And I texted Mom and was like, hey, where are you? You know, I'm in Withell. I'm in Princeton, blah, 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 back and forth. And finally, I get off at our last exit before we, in Strasburg, before we get on 250. I'm like, hey, we just got off the highway. Where are you? And she was like, Walnut Creek Cheese. And I was like, what? And on the way home from vacation, my mom stopped at Walnut Creek Cheese.
Listen.
Because it's kind of on the way home.
No, and listen, there's about a 6-minute difference. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
I literally thought it would be like a half hour different.
Me too.
It is not.
Okay.
It is not that different at all. Because I actually one time just absentmindedly went that
way. Got off there.
Yeah. And then I was like, well, now that I'm here, I might as well just stop at Walnut Creek Cheese. And go ahead.
Well, I was going to say Walnut Creek Cheese and Market in Walnut Creek, is that great that on the way home from vacation, before you go home and unpack, you're loading up with groceries?
Okay. I want to tell you something that I did recently. Walnut Creek Cheese and Market has a great deli section. They have great deli meat, great jelly cheeses. Now, if you're going to order online, you can't order their deli meat and cheese, right? I mean, you might be able to order the trebbolone and cheese. Yes, you can order cheese. And you can order probably the trebbolone and the jerky. But that fresh cut deli meat. I got some pastrami.
I love pastrami.
Me too.
Don't sleep on that.
I got pastrami. And just the mild Swiss cheese, just the regular Swiss cheese loaf. I got the pastrami cut really thin, not chipped, but cut real, real thin, and then sliced real thin, and then the Swiss sliced thin. And let me tell you, Daryl and I have enjoyed that so much. We've made sandwiches just with a little bit of, you know, ground mustard with some mayo. And just, they have really, really great deli meat and cheese there.
Yeah. You know what I just thought in my head is around this time last year, we went there and saw our friend Matt Keeler, who works with us. And he gave us some of their new products. We need to hit him up for some new products.
Yes, we do.
Like, what are they releasing?
Matt Keeler, if you are listening.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's when we learned about roll butter and their button mushrooms.
Yes. Listen.
There's so many good things.
We cannot end this without saying thank you to Walnut Creek Cheese and Market and Walnut Creek Foods for being our official sponsor. We love you so much. We loved you before you even became a sponsor.
That's right.
Of this podcast.
We loved you.
Yes.
We loved you because you first loved us.
We loved you then and we loved you then.
Still.
We love you still.
We love you long. All right. Hey, our topic today is from something happened in your real life that you texted me.
Yes.
And we thought let's talk about it. So set us up.
Yes. Okay. So Daryl just had open heart surgery on Valentine's Day, right?
Yeah.
And here is what I would say in summary what happens when you're faced with those scenarios. You get through. You just power through. Mm-hmm. You just pick yourself up, dust yourself off, get in that waiting room, do what you can, and you just power right on through.
Sure.
And then when it's over, you know, and sometimes there's difficulty and there's setbacks and there's hangups with recovery. Daryl hasn't had that. He has had a really, really wonderful recovery.
Totally.
He has recovered very, very well. But there is still in my mind, like, in fact, I was just thinking about this on the way over here, is somebody popped into my DMs today and said, you've been so quiet on here. I don't really see you story much. And I just needed to.
Is it fair to say you still do?
Do what?
You still do need to be quiet.
Yes.
Because if I can speak candidly, you're not back.
No.
Like you're not back.
To me?
No. You're not back to yourself.
No. Yeah. I could just cry city here.
Yeah.
Because
I kind of want you to be back. I could cry.
my mind has gone so many different places.
Sure.
And I think, too, the older you get, the more fragile that your life becomes.
Absolutely.
Because we're not what we were, right?
Yeah.
And so you're faced with your own mortality. You're faced with your own health starting, your own body just starting not to be what it was.
Right, right.
And so I've had all these feelings and thoughts, and I've had these moments of like just watching Daryl walk down the beach. Like literally, I feel like he could break out into a run, but watching him down the beach thinking, well, what if this happens? Well, what if that happens? He said his back hurt last night. Like, what if something is going on inside? Like, what if?
Yeah, yeah.
And so we have a dear friend, Chelsea, and we both just love her. We met her at an event we both attended. We attended at different times.
And then last summer, I ran into her at Disney. Do you remember
crazy,
that?
Crazy, yes.
I just saw her walking in Disney.
Yes, yes. And she is just, I would say she has counseling type verbiage and tendencies, but she definitely is life coach type material.
Life coach, business coach. Yeah.
And she has a podcast called The Dance of Growth.
Right.
And she just says the best stuff on her Instagram. And if you want to, I'll try to remember to link her to mention her on my Instagram so you can check her out.
Yeah.
But so she has a subscription based business. Well, she has a what's it called?
Email list.
No, she has a sweatshirt and t-shirt business where she does the screenings. What's that called on the front of a shirt?
Screen printing?
Screen printing on. Yeah. And she does all these beautiful, beautiful images and these wonderful sayings on the sweatshirts. And she has a subscription service that you can sign up for a subscription and you get this surprise. You pick your size and you get a surprise every month. Well, when all of this was going on with Daryl, And we're going to do this too, Matt. We are going to start a series on kindness and acts of kindness. Not kindness that you do, but kindness that has been done to you.
Done to you.
And what it means. So all of this is going on with Daryl, and I get this message from her that says, hey, I signed you up for my subscription, and you're going to start getting my subscriptions. And It can make me cry. I've been getting these like... these wonderful sweatshirts and t-shirts that have these wonderful messages on them. And it's literally like it's timed that when I open it up and I read what's on the sweatshirt, I could just sit there and cry because it's just like clicking in my head. Like I needed to hear that. Yeah. I needed to know.
Yeah.
So today I messaged her and I said, listen, that's how I started. I said, listen, this gesture of sending me this product every month. First of all, you know, she's a small business and she's just gifting this to me. She's not expecting me to talk about it. She's not expecting me to feature it. She's not expecting me to talk about this right now.
Right.
And I'm like, but this gesture is such a kindness to me. Mm. And I just am so thankful and I feel it deeply. Like, thank you so much. And she said, well, how are you doing? And I said, you know, we're doing good. And then she audio messaged me and she said, listen, I don't know if you need to hear this or not. I don't know if this will resonate with you or not, but I feel like I need to share it with you. And she told me this story about her daughter years ago was kicked in the head by a horse and literally should have died.
Yeah.
And didn't. Made
one
a full,
of her twins.
Yeah. Made a full recovery and is just bright and beautiful, wonderful dancer. And she said, I really played the what if game a lot in my head. Mm-hmm. Like, what if it would have been 1 inch? What if it would have been one, you know, or 1 centimeter? What if it would have been, you know, what if she would have landed, you know, all the what ifs, mm-hmm. you know? And she said, it really started to wear on me.
Yeah.
And she said, so I started, instead of saying what if, I started to shift my thinking. And I started to say, well, what is, mm-hmm. you know, and I stopped saying what if, and I stopped saying what is. This is what it is now. This is what we are living now. This is what is. And that, when she said that, it was like, oh, that is so what I need right now. That's what I need to like kind of flip the page over for me in this whole process with Daryl and this whole healing and all of it is just to say, oh, what is? Well, you know what is? Mm-hmm. What is that he walked 5 to 9 miles every day in Hilton Head. What is he looks so good.
He really does.
He looks, I feel like he looks 5 or 10 years younger. His face before surgery looked tired. Like he was tired and he has lost that tired look. He kind of has that little, like he gets a little twinkle in his eye when he gets like ornery or he's teasing and it's like, he's got that back and he's more verbal. Like he's talking more and saying more. And it's just because I do believe he feels better.
Totally.
He's waking up rested. He says, I wake up rested. I wake up, you know, before surgery, I would wake up really tired.
Yeah.
And I didn't really totally realize it until now I'm waking up rested.
Yeah.
And so that is what is.
Totally. And I think what if versus what is shifts the mindset from like when you tell yourself what is happening and you're stating what is right in front of your eyeballs, what you can see, what you can feel, what you can touch, what is actually happening. I think that gives you a level of control to say, well, now I can do something about
it. Right.
So I think sometimes when we say, what if, it's catastrophizing, it's looking towards the future, it's like worst case scenario. I actually was reading about this because I actually am in a little confession time. I typed into like an AI model and I said, is asking the question, what if, ever helpful? Because I think sometimes when we think about what if, we think, is it 100% a bad thing? Here's what I found out. This is really curious to me.
Okay.
The answer that I got from this AI model, so this isn't psychology, this is, they pull different resources and summarize it. So what this said is, in the area of risk management, so think about insurance claims, think about assessing damages somewhere, think about, you know, your planning strategy for the government or war. Okay.
Or health insurance?
Sure.
Okay.
In risk management, there is a level where thinking the worst case scenario can be helpful. But in reality, thinking the worst case scenario tends to lead to decline in health and more anxiety and depression.
Yeah, I believe it.
So rarely is what if scenario ever helpful. It's really not a helpful thing. And I don't know about you, but I have struggled with this before. I do struggle with this sometimes, depending on the situation. And I would say 90% of the time, maybe that's probably even a low number.
Are you going to say what I think?
90% of the time,
what you're saying never happens.
When you think, because, and honestly, I don't know how, if we've said this quite like this on this podcast before, but we've been through some hard stuff, yes. You and I. Mm-hmm. Not together, but in our separate lives.
Yes.
We've been friends through most together. Of it. But we've been through some hard stuff. And honestly, there are times where I'm like, that was really hard. But I think that after going through those experiences, I think I can brave more things. And so I think that as you go through experiences where you have something really hard happen to you, you build a little bit of resilience and you build a little bit of grit where you're like, okay, I went through that. I know I can handle other stuff. That doesn't make it easier.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think it helps you.
And I think too, when something has already happened, you know, when I think about certain things we've been through, like, well, what if we would have said this, or what if we would have done this, or what if we would have jumped in our car and went to this, well, you know, what if we would have handled that situation different? Would the outcome have been different? And those things can really drive you.
Well, those can be haunting.
Yes.
I mean, those, depending on the situation, it can be really haunting.
Yes. When I think of things we've dealt with, I think if we did the what if game, you could really drive yourself
100%
cuckoo. Like
in our community, in my school community where I work, we actually had three girls who were hit by a drunk driver.
I saw that.
One of them isn't doing well, and two of them are doing okay. Those types of situations where you're like, what if they would have left 5 minutes earlier?
Yeah.
What if, you know, you can drive yourself crazy. Yeah. Here's the thing that I always think about this too, is it kind of goes with, are you familiar with the whole butterfly effect thing?
Yes.
Where it's like one little thing changes the course of everything else.
Yes.
And so for me, when I think about that and I can start playing out those games, it's like, I don't know if games is the right word, playing out those scenarios.
Yes.
I think, but that's not what it is. That's not where we are.
Right.
That's not reality.
Well, that's not what is.
Right. And I think all those decisions change the whole course of your life. Mm-hmm. And so I think when you switch your what if to your what is, I think that gives you a level of power. When I did some digging on this, there's a researcher that came up that is really popular in educational theories, and her name's Carol Dweck. And Carol Dweck is...
Carol, if you are listening...
If Carol Dweck is listening to our podcast right now...
Welcome, Carol.
Well, Carol, call in. Find me, DM me, Carol. Carol Dweck, what she's attributed to is the whole growth mindset movement. And so growth mindset is, instead of saying... you know, we teach this in school. Instead of saying, I can't, you say, I can't yet.
Oh.
Or instead of saying, you know, it's shifting your mindset to like, how can I continue to grow and how can I continue to change?
That's good.
And I think, you know, part of her research says, if we start reframing our what ifs as opportunity for growth or learning, that really helps us. And it's really hard. Here's the thing. Here's what I want to say about this. I'm not saying when someone's going through tragedy to say, like, when I'm sitting in the hospital with you while Daryl's getting to be like, Leanne,
what
this is an opportunity for growth and learning.
Yes.
That's not what I'm saying.
And what is happening is that you have a great surgeon.
Right.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think if we see things as, if we see things as an opportunity versus a threat, I think that changes everything.
Yes.
We talked about something similar and I don't remember it off the top of my head, but it was a Simon Sinek thing and it had to do with airplane crashes.
Yes.
Do you remember this?
Where he says, instead of saying, I'm so nervous or I'm scared, he says, this is so exciting.
Yeah. And it's just a shift.
And it does something to your brain.
It totally shifts. I think the other thing that I really struggle with as a 40-year-old is I don't think I realized as a child how uncertain life really is.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think, I think the older that I get and the more life I have under my belt, the more I'm used to it changing.
Yeah.
You know,
why do you think I was playing What If? And I want to cry when I think about like just our fragility, like literally life is so fragile.
Totally.
We don't know what's going to happen.
I think that for me, I think as a kid, I looked at life and I was like, oh, this is how it is. Yeah. This is how it's always going to be. And then you go, oh, life changed in high school. Life changed in college. Life changed after college. Then you get married. Life is always changing.
Yes.
And so I think when we start to realize that life is going to shift.
Yeah.
It's always going to shift. Now, does that make these big things in our life easier? Not necessarily.
No, right.
But it's always going to change. It's always going to change.
Yeah, good.
So, yeah. So I think a shift from what if to what is a really, really helpful thing for sure.
Yeah. I just, when she was saying it, right when she was saying it, I was like, oh, this is exactly what I need to hear. Like,
totally.
Instead of me like going back to like, well, what if we wouldn't have went to the doctor? Well, what if it wouldn't have happened that way? Well, what if we wouldn't have discovered it? Well, what if the boys are going to have this trouble? Like,
right.
And instead of saying, now, what is?
Sure.
You know, settle down, well, Mrs. Millie.
Well, and I think the other thing to think of is how grateful you can be for how it happened.
Yes.
How thankful you can be for where, you know, the situation you guys were in. I think it was so good.
Well, I think also when you can kind of have little touch points of things that you can say, oh, I can relate this to my faith and I can see that God's hand was in this and he was taking care of us. Those actually help me, like those help me with my confidence that everything's looking good. Everything's going to be okay. You know, it feels like God went out of his way for us to discover.
He took you all the way to California to find
for us to discover this heart thing. And it was such a roundabout, incredibly insane way to do it.
Totally.
And here we are, and Daryl's doing so well, and the kids were home, and it was just a wonderful, if open heart surgery can be wonderful, you know, or an experience where everything kind of went along the way it was supposed to, it did.
Right.
And so you're right. I think gratitude plays into the what is, because what is recognizing how far we've come and how good it is and how good he's doing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's awesome. Hey, well, thanks for sharing your story and helping us shift our mindset from what if to what is.
Yeah. Thank you, Chelsea.
You know, I guess my parting shot for this, my wife started saying like, what if people thought that at home you were like, Mallory, here's my parting shot for you. Like, she's like, if you talked like that,
like at the end of supper, kids, here's my parting shot.
Yeah, yeah. But I guess here's my parting shot for us is when we shift our thinking from what ifs to what is, it puts us back in the driver's seat to not be a victim to our circumstances, but start making some decisions around
good.
It.
That's good.
So maybe you're finding yourself in a situation where you're like, what if this, what if that? Well, here's what I would encourage you to do. Take a second to say what is and what do I
write,
need to
write
do
some
right
things
now?
Down yeah write some things down of what is
happening in this situation and what do I need to do about
what
it right
if
now?
Is so elusive
it is
yeah
it's so
yeah.
scary
yeah.
So anyway, well, hey, thanks again for joining us in this conversation all about the what, shifting our what ifs to what is. Whether ordinary or extraordinary, we hope you see that these are good days. That was together.
This episode brought to you by Walnut Creek Foods.